Welcome to the Mercies of God radio broadcast, sponsored by the Mercies of God Association of Grand Rapids, Michigan. Now, with today's message, here is the late Dr. Peter Nortier.
Take your Bibles, if you will, and you turn with me to the Old Testament in 2 Samuel chapter 9. I'm going to begin reading at verses 1 through 13. And David said, "Is there yet any left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" There was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, "Art thou Ziba?" And he said, "Thy servant is he." And the king said, "Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet." And the king said unto him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodibar." Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Lodibar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, "Mephibosheth," and he answered, "Behold thy servant." And David said unto him, "Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." And he bowed himself and said, "What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am?" Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, "I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, my thy master's son, shall eat bread always at my table." Then said Ziba unto the king, "According to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servants, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth," said the king, "he shall eat at my table as one of my sons." So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table, and was lame on both his feet. Our subject today is God's mercy to a dog. Today we're going to be bringing you a series of messages on the passage of 2 Samuel chapter 9 and verses 1 through 13. The reason is because it's one of the dearest and clearest in the entire Bible of how God saves a sinner. We hope you'll read the passage several times because there's very much truth in it. My own heart has been warmed and thrilled over and over again as we've looked at this portion and are ready to bring these messages unto you. The story is a very simple one. David was reigning as king. He desired to show kindness to a descendant of Jonathan. He sent for and fetched Mephibosheth out of his place of abode. He brought him to his own house and made him eat as one of the king's sons for the rest of his life. Now that's a simple story. Yet behind this simple story, we see the profound truths of the grace of God revealed for our learning and edification. It is our purpose to set forth these truths as they are, that we might more fully appreciate the goodness and grace of God to us. And I hope these lessons will be a comfort to your heart and an edification to you. Take your Bibles now and turn to our text in 2 Samuel 9, verses 1 through 13. We call your attention to the first picture that is set forth for our learning. It is the grace of God and its actions. Notice verses 1 through 4 where we read, "And David said, Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I might show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, Art thou Ziba? And he said, Thy servant is he. And the king said, Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, Where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodibar." Here we find a marvelous picture of the actions of the grace of God as it goes toward the poor sinner. As we review them, let me remind you that if you have never traveled this route, you have never truly been converted. Salvation is absolutely, totally, entirely, and wonderfully, as well as eternally, of the Lord. No sinner has a thing to do with his own salvation. He is saved due to one thing. The grace of God had been manifested to him individually and personally. In the going forth of God's grace to the sinner, we see, first of all, that grace is selective and searching. Now, you follow along with me as I give you this truth. The truth is that no man seeks after the Lord until the Lord first has gone after the individual. Is there someone perhaps listening to me today who's longing to know Christ at this hour? If you are, my friend, and if you do long to know Him, it is because the Lord has first put that desire in your own heart. Because you see, man without God hates Christ. And man without God is a lost sinner and doesn't know it until the Lord God of heaven shows it to him personally. Now take your Bibles again, if you will, and turn with me to Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, where we read these words. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now turn again to Romans chapter 3 and verses 10 through 12, where we read again. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. I wonder if you've caught the import of these words. I've said it before. I'll say it again. No man seeks for salvation, nor is he profitable before God, which means that no man is worthy to be saved. This puts all mankind on the same plane before God, which plane is of being a no good, unprofitable sinner who deserves hell. I wonder if you know what I'm talking about. When the grace of God goes forth, it is selective and searching. The grace of God is sovereignly bestowed and sovereignly searches out the sinner. Some are brought to Christ, while others are sovereignly passed over according to God's purpose and wisdom. Before you rise up in rebellion against His truth, you need to listen to our text, where we have a picture of the sovereign grace of God. Verse 1 says, And David said, Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? Here we see the searching grace and the selecting grace of God portrayed. As David asked, Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul? So the call of God goes forth to the individual today. Is there any of the household of sinners that I may show kindness to him for the sake of Christ? You answer this question, my friend. Are you of the household of sinners, or are you of the household of the self-righteous? Unless you take your place as a sinner and sue for mercy, put it down, you'll never be converted and you cannot be saved. As we see, also the selectiveness of the grace of God revealed in David's request. He specifically asked of the household of Saul, and he specifically sought out a particular individual. This makes the grace of God searching, but also selective and particular. Now let me ask you this question. Has the grace of God ever gone home to you personally? And has it been revealed to you what it means to be a sinner before the great King, the Lord Jesus Christ? If not, my friend, you haven't become a recipient of the grace of God, because, listen carefully now, these two things always take place. The grace of God is selective, but it is also particular. Now turn again, if you will, in your Bible, if you can, to 2 Samuel 21, verses 6 through 9, where we read, Let seven men of his sons be delivered unto us, and we will hang them up unto the Lord in Gibeah of Saul, whom the Lord did choose. And the Lord said, I will give them. But the Lord spared Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, because of the Lord's oath that was between them, between David and Jonathan, the son of Saul. But the king took the two sons of Rizpah and the five sons of Michal, and he delivered them into the hands of the Gibeonites, and they hanged them in the hill before the Lord. And they fell all seven together and were put to death. Now why was Mephibosheth spared? Only one reason can be given. It was due to the sovereign, selective grace of God bestowed upon him. My friend, let me say this to you kindly. If you are saved at this hour, it is because of the same reason. God's grace to you is sovereign, searching, and selecting. What was true with Mephibosheth is true with every individual whom the Lord ever saves. Now, did Mephibosheth know what it meant to be delivered from death? He did. And so does every individual whom the Lord ever reaches down and delivers. Now let me ask you a question. Do you know what I'm talking about? The second characteristic of grace is that it is bestowed upon the person without the individual exercising any initiative whatever. Turn again to 2 Samuel chapter 9 and verse 4. And the king said unto him, Where is he? And David sought out Mephibosheth and found him, because it reads, Then David said and fetched him out of the house of Machir, out of Lodabar. As David said, Where is he? David sought out Mephibosheth and found him. My Lord today seeks, he finds, and he saves the lost sinner apart from any works whatever on the part of the individual. You see, beloved, grace is the unmerited favor of God bestowed upon the worthless, helpless, rebellious sinner who ought to be in hell. As David sought for Mephibosheth, so my Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, seeks for and finds the lost sinner. And that's why I like Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, where it says, "The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." This brings us to the third aspect of grace. Where does grace find the sinner? Hold your seat now as I give you this truth. Grace finds the poor sinner in his sins. Look again at verse 4 of our text, where we read, "And the king said unto him, Where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lo Debar." These names portray the true condition of every sinner, just as they portray the condition of Mephibosheth. The word Mephibosheth, listen now, the word Mephibosheth means out of my mouth, shame. The word Machir means cellar, while the word Lodibar means the place of no pasture. Here we see the investigative aspect of the grace of God. God sees, knows, and understands all about the sinner's awful condition. Now hold your seat. It's right here Satan tries to put in his roadblock with respect to the sinner. He may whisper to the sinner, "You're too big a sinner for God to hear or save him." And then when the sinner begins to plead for the Lord, the Satan will come along. "He isn't going to listen to you. God's too busy and God doesn't care about you." These are some of the roadblocks that he tries to put in the heart and life of an individual when God begins to deal with them. But the tragedy of today is this, that so many listen to the voice of Satan, and when they do, they fall into the sluice of despondency. Maybe someone is like that at this hour. Well, let me tell you very kindly, listen now, my friend, my Lord knows all about you, so don't fall for the lie of Satan. I've said it before, I'm going to say again, there's no sinner too great for God to save. And I'll tell you right now, there's no sinner outside that God can't save him unless that individual is already in hell. You see, beloved, God comes to seek and to save that which was lost. And how glad I am that the grace of God is still in operation at this present hour. And I hope that you're glad also. Oh, if you're listening to me today and you don't know the Lord Jesus, let me give you a word of encouragement. Begin now to ask the Lord there to open your heart, to show you, first of all, your need. Then don't try to go any further, because I'll tell you right now, until God shows you your need, you're not even ready to be converted. As I mentioned before, we'll say again, every sinner is like Mephibosheth before he is converted. It is my hope that what we set before you is not foreign to you, but is a living reality. And my hope is, if it is, that the Lord will bring you down the road of grace unto salvation. Until we meet again, this is Pastor North here saying goodbye, and oh, may the Lord spare you before it's too late.
Thank you for listening to the Mercies of God radio broadcast with the late Dr. Peter Nortier. For more about Mercies of God, go to our website, merciesofgod.org. That's merciesofgod.org. If this program is a blessing to you, send your tax-deductible contributions to the Mercies of God Association, or MOGA, M-O-G-A, 1553 Knapp Street, Northeast Grand Rapids, Michigan, 49505. Once again, the Mercies of God Association, or MOGA, M-O-G-A, 1553 Knapp Street, Northeast Grand Rapids, Michigan, 49505. Or go to the website, merciesofgod.org. That's merciesofgod.org. Join us again next time for the Mercies of God radio broadcast with the late Dr. Peter Nortier.